This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
So, Parshas Vayishlach, three offerings I'd like to share with you this evening. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golku@gmail.com and I'll happily send you the handouts. The first idea I heard in the name of Rav Tzvi Hirschfeber. He was a Rav who came out Tzvi. He lived here in England in the time of, the beginning of the 20th century, the first part of the 20th century. And he says an interesting point in this week's parasha. There's a very famous Rashi. Yaakov Avinu sends a message to Esav. He says, "Koyomar avdecho Yaakov im lovon garti." Says Rashi very famously, "Garti ben gematria tariag." And therefore, of course, it's the same letters. Garti, tariag, the same letters. And therefore, he was saying, "Koloima," says Rashi, "im lovon harosha garti." I lived with love on the wicked man. The tariag mitzvah shamarti v'loy lomadati m'mais of haroim, and I didn't learn from his evil ways. So lots of famous Rashi, much discussion on it. Rav Tzvi Hirschfeber asked the following question. He says, why does Esav care if Yaakov kept Torah or not? Why is Yaakov sending a message to Esav saying, you should know I kept Torah in the house of Lavan, in Lavan Gati v'tariag mitzvah shamarti? Esav is not particularly bothered by that. So the Rav Tzvi Hirschfeber says something very interesting. Let's read it inside. I got this from the Sefer Shulchan Gevoya. Kivin she'omai Yitzchok le'Esav. In Parshas Toldos, after Yaakov got in there first and got the brachas, and then Esav appeared, Esav asked Yitzchok, he said, have you got any other brachas for me? So the Pasuk says that Yitzchok gave him a bracha, for hoya ka'asheh tori d'farakta ulo me'al tzavarecho, which means, she'em Yaakov yavur ahal Torah. If Yaakov doesn't keep the Torah, Oz then horoshus nusuna le'esav lifrek ule lahavidoi. Then it's open season. Esav is allowed to attack Yaakov because he's not doing his bit. He's not keeping the Torah. But yoma Esav ki yibios is man rav beis lavan. So therefore, all those years later, 36 years later, Yaakov ran away. He went to Shem Ve'eva for 14 years. Then he went to the house of Lavan. 20 years plus 2 years of travel. 36 years later, they're gonna meet again. Esav thinks to himself, there's no way that Yaakov could have kept the Torah in the house of Lavan. Lavan is a crook. It's an alien environment. And now, if he didn't keep the Torah, I have the right to attack him. That's what Yitzchok said. So he thought to himself, there's no way. Bevadai leshama mitzvah Hashem. Ba'at yoch lavida, and therefore I can destroy him. Lochein omer lo Yaakov, and therefore the message Yaakov sent back was, im Lavan garti v'tayag mitzvah shamati, but in lamatim ma'asim aroim. You can't touch me. I've kept my side of the bargain. And therefore you have no right to exercise Yitzchok's bracha of, or Yitzchok's rishus to attack me. And that's the meaning of that. Interesting idea. Now, the next idea I saw in the writings of Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, and he quotes a very, very interesting Sfas Emes. Let's begin from the second box, box number two. Yaakov Avinu, as we know, the night before he's going to meet Esav in person, he goes back to get the Pachim Katanim. He goes alone and he meets the angel, the Malach of Esav, and they duel and they battle the whole night. The next morning when the sun is going to rise, he says, what's your name? And Yaakov responds, my name is Yaakov. So the Pasuk says, Vayomelo Yaakov, you're no longer going to be called Yaakov. Kim Yisrael, you're going to be called Yisrael. Ki Sarisim Elohim Melnoshim Batucha, because you battled with angels and with men and you overcame them. Vayishal Yaakov Vayomer Hagidin Oshmecha. So what's your name? Yaakov says back to him. Vayomer Lomazet Tishal Shmi Vayvarech Hashem. Why are you asking my name? So it's a very cryptic response. The Malach says, why are you asking my name? I mean, it's not such a strange question. In fact, he asked that question two psukim earlier to Yaakov, and Yaakov just told him, my name is Yaakov. So why, when Yaakov said, what is your name? Why did he respond by saying, why are you asking my name? They bring over from the Leib Chasman, they quote him to say that a malach, his name is his mission. His raison d'etre is what his particular tafkid, his particular mission is. And therefore, there's no point in asking my name because my name changes with every mission. And this really is not just for malachim. It applies to every single person because the name of a person defines the essence of the person, and more than that, it impacts the destiny of the person. As we mentioned earlier in the Halacha Shir, there's much, much to say on this. there's a famous Rabbeinu Bachai. The Rabbeinu Bachai in Sefer Bereishis, back in Parshas Bereishis, he quotes Chazal say that Adam HaRishon named all the animals, and it was tremendous chachma to name all the animals. So you may ask, what's the chachma? You go to the zoo and you say, right, that's the tiger, that's the elephant, that's the monkey. What's the chachma? So the Rabbeinu Bachai explains, the chachma is, of course, in other languages, these names are arbitrary. But in Lashon HaKodesh, the lion has to be the Aryeh, because that is exactly what it is. The pill, it has to be the elephant, the chamor has to be the donkey, etc., etc. And he explains, so for example, the Aryeh is the king of the jungle. He's compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Pasuk says in Hosea, Achri Hashem Yechul Ka'Aryeh Yishon. He's like a roaring lion. So we compare him to, he's got some sort of leadership, divine role as it has. Therefore, Aryeh is made up of the following letters, Aleph, Reish, Yud, Hey. Aleph, Yud, Hey are the spiritual divine letters. Aleph, Yud, and Hey, making up various shemes of Hashem. Reish stands for Ruach. And therefore, the Aryeh has that sort of dimension of kingship, of lordliness, of spirit, etc. He gives another example, Chamor. A chamor, what is the definition of chamor? A chamor is meant to be a very sort of simple animal, just to transport things from A to B. Therefore, the name of chamor is made up of the word chomer, which means just, you know, physical mass, just substance. And chomer so'erim is a measure of barley, because that's its job, to transport products from A to B. So you see that the name of the person, the name of the item, is really the essence of the item. And you see it with lots of things. You see it, for example, with organs of the body. That, for example, the word kovid is the liver. So we know that the liver happens to be the heaviest internal organ of the body. So kovid, liver, is connected to the word kovid, which is heavy, because that is the essence of what a liver is, the hand. The hand is called the yad. We know that each finger has three joints. If you look at your finger and you bend it, you see it has three joints. The thumb has two. So four fingers with three joints each, plus two in the thumb, is 14 joints. Each hand has 14. The yad, that's what the yad is. The eye is an ayin. It's connected to the word ma'ayan, which is the wellspring of water, because that's one of the functions of the eye. It's always wet and it's teary. The teeth is shinayin, because first of all, there are two sets. Yeah, there's, you have baby teeth and you have adult teeth. No other organ has that. You don't say, my baby nose is disappearing and my adult nose is emerging. But it's just teeth. And the word shinayim, shinui is to break down the food. More than that, we have 16 teeth on the top and 16 at the bottom, 32 in total, which is the same gematria as lev, to connote the idea of piv v'libo shovim. Your heart and your mouth should be in sync, that you should say what you think. You shouldn't think one thing and say another thing. And an oizen, ear, is connected to moznaim because of balance, scales, etc., etc. In other words, the names of the organs of the body itself also represent the actual intrinsic essence of that particular item. Now, that being the case, naming a child is very, very important, because it really goes to the root of what the mission of the child is. I must just mention a story, a well-known story, a fabulous story that I forget who tells it, but it happened a few years ago in Israel, that a travel agent living in Eretz Israel, he sets up charters a plane to take, you know, a group of people who pay him to go off to Lizhensk for the Yahrzeit of Roni Melech, Chaf Aleph Adar. On the 21st of Adar, they go off to Lizhensk. And this particular travel agent is a frum fellow. He has a friend who is a chiloni, a secular Israeli, who is married, but unfortunately the couple have been married for many years and not yet had children. And the travel agent calls up his friend and said, look, we're planning this trip. Going to Lizhensk is a very powerful thing. You daven there in the Oihel in Lizhensk. Those of you who have been there, you know what it's like. It really is very, very powerful. And come with your daven and Miss Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the fella said, no, it's not for me. I'm not religious. Tefillah, no, not for me. And the Israeli travel guide, you know, he doesn't give up easily, and he persuades, and anyway, after a while, the fellow said, look, I'm going to pay for your ticket. I want you to come. He persuades him to come. But he says, with two conditions. One condition is that if you go to Lejeune with me and you're blessed with a child and it's a baby boy, two things. Number one, you will have to call the baby Elimelech. If you're after all going to Lejeune, to the cave of the famous Rabbi Elimelech of Lejeune, you will have to call him Elimelech. Second of all, says the travel agent, I am going to be the sandik. Those are two conditions. The fellow said, fine. So he goes off to Lejeune. He davens there, pours his heart out. Of course, Nebuch is very emotional and he cried. Anyway, a year later, sure enough, he has a child, he has a baby boy. He calls the travel agent, tells him the wonderful news, and the travel agent says, remember the deal. You've got to call the kid Elimelech, and I'm going to be the sandik. The fellow said, look, I've spoken to my wife. Remember, the Chilani Jews, they're secular Jews. He says, there's no way we're calling the kid Elimelech. You can be the sandik, but no way Elimelech. So he said, but that's not the deal. We agreed it. So again, backwards and forwards, they come to a compromise. They'll name them. They want a more modern Israeli name. They'll call him something, and then they'll add the name Elimelech. So fine, okay, they come to that compromise. They come to the day of the bris. This travel agent is the sandik. He's holding the baby. For Karoi Shmoi B'Yisrael, Noyam Elimelech, which of course is the safe of Rebbe Elimelech of Lejeune, named Noam Elimelech. Right? So you see that even today, there is a certain Ruach HaKodesh, a certain divine inspiration. I know myself that I know of a couple that the night before the bris, he tells me they have one name, and they, in the middle of the night, he's lying there in bed, and suddenly he says a name pops in his mind, and they're going to add that name. And he speaks to his wife, they're agreeable to it, they're very nice, and they add that name. It's a certain divine inspiration, a certain Ruach HaKodesh, even today one gets when naming the child. Now, that being the case, that brings us onto this Sfas Emes. Because the Sfas Emes says something fascinating. Let's take a look inside. It's paragraph 2b. Hashem shel ha'odom hu mashen nivra lesakein oiso inyan. The name of a person connotes the mission, the tafkid of every individual. V'lochein, Rishoyim forget their name in the kever because there was a total disconnect to what their job was. They didn't do it, and if they didn't do it, they sort of forget their name. The Yaakov loizu shetikin eshemoi, he finished his mission in life. He had accomplished his mission of whatever Yaakov was, of dealing with Lavan, or dealing with Esav, etc. But he was given the zechus of having a second name. He had fulfilled the mission of Yaakov. That's why he's compared to a malach. A malach fulfills his mission with perfection. So too, Yaakov had finished his mission of Yaakov with perfection. Therefore, with every mission, you've got for the next mission, the malach's got a different name. When a person has finished their mission in life, then they're ready to leave this world. Yaakov had finished his mission. When the malach gave him another name, he was giving him life. He was giving him longevity by saying that you now have another mission in this world. That's what the Sfas Emes says. Now that, says Rabbi Roberts, explains the Yerushalmi in Peah. The first halacha in the first perek of Yerushalmi in Peah tells us of the amazing kibud eim of Rabbi Tarfon. He did amazing kibud eim, and the Gemara describes it there. One time Rabbi Tarfon was very ill. So the mother of Rabbi Tarfon, says the Gemara, went to the Chachomim and said, could you please daven for my son, Rabbi Tarfon? So why? Because he's my son. And also, you should know, my son Rabbi Tarfon does his kibud eim amazingly. So they said to her, what does he do? So she described all the amazing kibud eim that he does. Now, the response of the Chachamim was this. I'm at the bottom box. Omrula, they said to her, ma'ovilach v'tanislach, she told it to them, Omrula afilu oisakein elef alofin. Even if he did 1,000 times more than this, He hasn't even reached half of what the Torah requires of Kibbudim, which is a very strange response. Seems harsh. He had done an exemplary Kibbudim, and they respond and say, Nach, it's not even a half of what the Torah requires. If you did 1,000 times more, what is meant by that? So Rabbi Robert says, a beautiful idea. If they would have said, wow, indeed, his Kibbudim was fantastic, was outstanding, then perhaps that would suggest his mission in this world is accomplished. There's nothing more for him to achieve. By them turning around and saying he hasn't yet accomplished everything, they're giving him life. His mission is not yet accomplished. He has more to do. So therefore, it was a very sensitive response. And that's Rabbi Roberts quotes the Koznitz and Magid. The Koznitz and Magid died in the early 1800s. He lived a long life. So he was asked, you know, how do you explain your old age? So the Koznitz Magid responded, he said that at every stage in his life, he took upon himself a new enterprise. And when he completed that enterprise, you know, he could have said, my life could have come to an end. But he obligated himself with something fresh, with a new enterprise to extend his life. And therefore he was given, you know, extra years so he could fulfill further missions in this world. And I think that's an important lesson, but it's a fascinating area, fascinating idea. Of the name of the person defines who he or she is, and a person can accomplish a mission but can begin a new one, and that really is one of the bequests of Yaakov Avinu to all of us. Let's move on to a new idea. This idea I did mention once in a parasha shir, I forget when. It's a famous idea of the Kol Eliyahu. And when I said this in years by, I mentioned that there are kashas on this Kol Eliyahu, on this Vilna Gaon. And tonight I want to explain what the kashas are and to perhaps suggest a different approach to this. Let's take a look, paragraph 3. The pasuk says, Vayokom balaylohu vayikach eshteinosho veshtei shivchoysov. Yaakov Avinu got up that night. He took his two wives and his two maidservants, ve'esachad oso yelodov, and his 11 children, vayavar es ma'avar yabik. And he crossed over the river Yabik. Says Rashi, famously, 11 children. Now we know at this stage, Binyamin was not yet born. So why 11 children? There were 12 children. There were 11 boys, and there was Dina. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yizachar, Zvulun, Don, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Yosef, that's 11, and Dina, 12. So why does the pasuk say 11? Says Rashi, the Dina heichan haisa. Rashi assumes straight away it was Dina. Where was Dina? Nos no bateva. He puts her in a box. V'noa b'foneha, and he locked it. Shreyitim bo Esav eno, that Esav shouldn't cast his eyes on Dina. V'lokach ne'enash Yaakov. Yaakov was punished. Shemono me'ochiv, that he held her back from her brother, his brother. Shematachzer en lemutav. Maybe Dina would have brought him back, her uncle Esav back. Not for Shechem, and therefore the whole incident of Shechem happened. Ask the Kol Eliyahu the question that I'm sure is we're all thinking of. How does Rashi know it was Dina? The pasuk just says it was 11 children. Doesn't give us a clue, seemingly, as to who was missing. Says the Kol Eliyahu, Makshim ha'olam. Minolam de Dina nechzra. Who says it was Dina who was missing? Dilma Dina ha'isameach ha'dasayelod. Maybe Dina was one of the 11 children. Ve'echod me'ashvotim ha'yonechzra. And one of the shvotim was missing. Says the Kol Eliyahu, v'yeshloima. Now, this is very difficult. The Kol Eliyahu was not written by the Vilna Gaon. It was put together by his Talmidim. And in the Sefer at the end, it doesn't add a lot of authenticity because he says, Shmua mipi magid echod b'shem eza sefer. Not particularly credible. But either way, we'll see. It's quoted, and he quotes sources, but it's not found in these sources. We'll see that soon. Hatam shen nivne beit hamigdash b'chelkash shel Binyamin. The reason why the Beit HaMikdash was built in the Chelek of Binyamin, mipnei dehu lo yishtachav el Esav, because Binyamin didn't bow down to Esav, da'adayin lo hayanoylad ba'isa azman, because he wasn't born yet. Im kein lefizeh, im isa da'ayonechse echod min ashrotim, if it was another one of the shrotim who was missing, let's say it was Reuven who was missing, harihu gam kein lo yishtachav, he also wouldn't have bowed down le'esav. Im kein kosher lo malivnei beit HaMikdash b'chelkei, then maybe the Beis Hamikdash should have been built in the chelik of Reuven or whoever else it was. Shenechzaos umadua nivne dafka bechelka shel Binyamin. And al korchuch tzarich lema the kol hashvatim hayu sham in Yaakov. It must be that all the shvatim were with Yaakov and all 11 bowed down to Esav. Vekulam ishtachvu le Esav. Zulas Binyamin, apart from Binyamin, shelo hayonel adadayim, because he wasn't yet born. But rak dina nechzon, it was just dina who was missing the dina belav hachilu, not the chelik baritz. She never got a chelik in the land as a lady. Veshap himakshe v'dina heichnos. And that's why the Rashi can ask v'dina heichel v'yso. There are three difficulties with this pshat. And these three, I heard all of them from Rabbi Hartman. And I'm going to suggest you an explanation that he gives. What are the three problems with this pshat? First of all, it says issa b'gemara. It's not a gemara. Where is this chazal? That the Beis Hamikdash was built in the chelik of Binyamin because Binyamin didn't bow down. It's actually a targum sheni in Megillas Esther, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Gimel. Now that is not a very well known source. So is Rashi assuming that everyone knows the targum sheni on Megillas Esther? Question number one. Question number two. Interesting. Just because it says there were 11 children when they crossed the river, when they crossed the river Jordan, just because they were absent when they were crossing the river Yaboik, who says they weren't there when they met Esau? Why are you putting two together? And the third question is this, that this explanation doesn't really work for three of the Shvatim anyway, because maybe it was one of the three Shvatim who were in the box, and maybe they were missing, and the Beis Hamikdash is not in their share because Levi didn't get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael, and Reuven and God were in Evah Yarden. So this answer doesn't satisfy, it doesn't work for these three shvatim. So Rabbi Hartman therefore came up with a different suggestion, and this is a very interesting suggestion. From what point is a father called a father and is a mother called a mother? The answer is, and it's a Rashi in Megillah, clear Rashi in Megillah, Rashi says that a father is called a father from the moment of conception, and a mother is called a mother from the moment of birth. How do we know that? Because Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, Esther, Ein Lo Av Ve'Ein. Esther didn't have a mother or a father. Says the Gemara in Megillah, Of a Mois Ovia Ve'Imelom. And why does it say on the death of her father and mother, Omer Ravacha Ibarto, after she was conceived, Mes Aviha, Yoladata, when the mother gave birth to her, Meso Imma, then she passed away. Says Rashi, Bashash Nisabro Imma Meso Viha, after her mother became pregnant, the father died. Nimtza, says Rashi, Shelo Hoya Lo Av, listen to the words, Misha Shenir Lehakrisov, from the moment he can be called a father, i.e., from conception. Says Rashi, Yochashe Yoldoso Imma Mesa, says Rashi, she wasn't able to be called a mother from when she could be called a mother. When is that? From birth. So you see that a mother could be called a mother from birth and a father is called a father from conception. Now, we know the Gemara in Bracha says in Daf Samach Amud Aleph that Dina was meant to be a boy. She switches in utero. Well-known Gemara. Let's take a look at the Gemara. The Gemara says, Va'achar Yoldabas, Vatikra Shemodina. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, Va'achar? My Va'achar Yoldabas? Says the Gemara, Amarav, La'achar Shedona Leah Din Ba'atzmo. Because Leah went through the following thought process. Va'omer, she said, Shneimos Ashvotim Asidin Otseis Miyakov. I know that Yaakov Avinu is meant to have 12 tribes, 12 sons. Shisha Yotzmen. I've already had 6 so far. And 4 have been born to the Shvachas, to Bilhah and Zilpah. Hari Asara, that's 10. And Yosef was already born to Rachel. So Imzeh Zocha, when Leah is now pregnant, she said to herself, if this child is a male, Lo Teachosi Rachel Kachas HaShvachas, I'm going to have 7. Rachel will have just 1. And therefore she'll have less than the Shvachas. So she davened, and Miyad Nepcha Lebas, and Dina, who was meant to be a boy, was conceived a boy, she then turned into a daughter, Shnei Vatikra Shemobdina. Okay, that's the famous Gemara in Brachas. Now, therefore, says Rabbi Harman, very, very beautiful. When the Pasuk says, Achadasar Yelodov, the 11 children, it must exclude Dina, because she was a boy on conception and she changed into a girl. L'moshel, I'll give you an example. Let's say you have a young man who's 25 years old, and he goes off to the Far East, and let's say he picks up a terrible virus. He eats something terrible, he transforms into something totally peculiar. He transforms, just to give a very extreme example, into a giraffe. So would you say that the mother has given birth to this giraffe? No. She gave birth to this boy. But now he's changed into a giraffe. She didn't give birth to this giraffe. Well, so too, if Dina was conceived a boy and she changed, as the Gemara says in Brachas, into a girl, so then you can't say that Yaakov is the father of this child, because, you know, a Yilodov is when X is conceived and X is born. But if X is conceived and Y is born, you can't call that child one of his Yilodov. Therefore, says Rabbi Hartman, when the Pasuk says, V'esachadasar Yilodov v'yavres me'ev ma'avayabok, when the 11 children of Yaakov Avinu crossed over the river, Achadasar Yilodov has to be the 11 Shvatim, the boys, because Dina cannot be called one of his Yilodov, because she was conceived a boy, she changed into something different. I can't call that one of the Yilodov. And that's how Rashi knew that it must have been Dina is not included in the 11. Dina, therefore, asked Rashi, Heichon Hoysa. Very beautiful interpretation. So there we have it, three ideas on this week's Parsha. The first idea is, Im Lovam Garti, V'tayag Mitzvah Shamarti, V'le Lamadati M'maisim Oroim. The famous Rashi asked Rav Tzvi HaShvaba, why does Esav care? If Yaakov kept Torah, it doesn't seem to bother him. The answer is it does, because he was well aware of the rishus, of the blessing, the permission given to him by Yitzchok, that if v'hoi kasher Torah deforak de'ula me'al tzavarecho, then you're entitled to attack Yaakov. And therefore he thought, if he's been with Lavan all these years, there's no way he kept Torah, and his guard was down, he didn't keep his part of the bargain, and therefore it's open season. Says Yaakov, a message back to Esav, no. Im Lovam Garti, Tag Mitzvah Shamarti, etc., etc. Then we had Rabbi Pinchas Roberts, that beautiful idea, mission accomplished, that the name of the person defines his or her very essence. The word neshama, shame, is encapsulated by the neshama. That even the name of the animals, they suggest the very intrinsic nature of the animal. That you get, even today, Ruach HaKodesh, the Noam Elimelech, a divinely inspired name. And therefore, Yaakov, his name represents his mission. And therefore, when at that stage in his life, it was mission accomplished. By changing his name to Yisrael, we're giving him longevity by saying, no, you've now got a new mission. There's more for you to do. And with that, Rabbi Roberts explains the Yerushalmi and Peah, the Rabbi Tarfon's Kibudain, the restrained response of the Chachomim. If that's all what he's done, it's impressive, but he hasn't even got to a thousandth of half of what the Torah says he should do. Because they're saying there's more for him to accomplish. And if there's more to accomplish, then he needs to live longer. And Binyamin and Dina, the famous Vilna Gaon says, if Achadasei Elodov, says Rashi, where was Dina? Says the Kodav Yo, who says, how did Rashi know it was Dina who's missing? It just says 11 children. So he says, because Chazal tell us that the Beis HaMikdash was built in the Chelik of Binyamin. Built in the Chelik of Binyamin, and therefore he didn't bow down to Esav, and therefore the others did, it couldn't have been in his Chelik. But we have three questions on this pshat. Because it's not a Chazal, it's not a Gemara, it's a Targum Sheni on Megillas Esther. It seems hard that Rashi assumes we have familiarity with that. Second of all, just because they were absent here at the crossing, it doesn't mean that they weren't there later with Esau, and it doesn't explain Levi, Reuven, and God, who didn't get a chelik in the land anyway. So therefore, Rabbi Hartman suggests that when it says Achadasa Yelodov, that has to be referring to the boys, because the father is called a father, like Rashi says in Megillah, at conception. And if she changed in utero to become a girl, so therefore it's not appropriate, it's not true to call her one of Yaakov's Yolodov. And therefore, when the Pasuk says Achadasa Yolodov, it must be talking about the boys, not the girls, and that's how Rashi knew it. And therefore, he asked for Dina Heichon Hoysa. Thank you very much for listening. I wish you a very good evening and a good Shabbos. Kol Tov.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.